Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown podcast. It is Tuesday night, August 16th, 2022. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on my screen by Benjamin Powers. How's it going, pal?
Going quite well. Been a long day, but here we are talking some ball. So everything's all good in the hood. Marcus Peters back at practice. The Ravens continue arguably the most impressive streak in exhibition history. And we're chilling, man.
Yeah, definitely. Orioles just go up over the Blue Jays, 2-1 there. So Cole, nope. Who we wanted to join, do what?
1-2. It's 1-2.
Exactly. Yeah. So Cole, who we wanted to join tonight, you can suck on that for not. Here we are. We've got the Orioles game going on, which, you know, we typically have not cared about those in the past while we record in August, but it's a great feeling. And you said it. Marcus Peters back at practice. I guess we can jump right into that. Talk about a really good feeling for a position group that has not had a great summer overall. You know, they signed Kyle Fuller. He has reportedly not looked amazing in camp practices. And then obviously Marlon Humphrey also coming back from injury. Some other depth questions beyond that. Pepe Williams has had a little bit of run there and looked good. But yeah, it's for a team that is really invested in the secondary, it's felt a little bit thin at cornerback. So having him back there and just kind of having his veteran presence back there is pretty great as well.
Definitely is. And they brought in Fuller, like you mentioned, to bring a little bit of that veteran leadership that they definitely lacked last year with Marcus Peters. Bring in a guy like Marcus Williams you have on the back end now. So you're looking at that secondary, and there's vets all around. Marlon Humphrey, Chuck Clark, Marcus Williams, Marcus Peters returns. And from everything I've heard and a little tiny bit of what I've seen, seems like he's fine. Seems like he's going to be fine, maybe good to go ultimately, barring any setbacks. So hoping that ends up being the case. This is my dumb opinion, but very skinny guy, you know, not like he carries a bunch of weight, you know, rehab's probably, he's not a spring chicken anymore, but rehab might be a little bit quicker for him in that pterodactyl frame that he has, not putting a ton of weight on it. And wasn't necessarily his kind of explosive athleticism necessarily that made him the player he was, as opposed to the mental fortitude, the mental acumen, and just being an intelligent player. So hopefully able to make a pretty quick recovery here and get back into shape.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're 100% correct in the pterodactyl body type, I guess is how you put it there. And it always, like, for some reason, he always has his socks off and he always looks really funny without the socks on. Just walking around with the bow-legged stance there and everything. Always a great thing to see. And great to see him out there. Kind of mixing it up with guys. I can't wait until we get our first mic'd up with him because those are always really fun.
That is the best. And we I remember the one he did last year. I think he was mic'd up in the joint practices with the Panthers and has kind of that same narc mentality that Marlon Humphrey has a little bit, like keeping it casual, maybe not telling everybody. So I don't know that Marlon rolls the same way that Marcus does, but definitely always love the mic'd up content, love the attitude he brings, love all of those things. We also get an Adley bomb here to make it 2-2. Again, suck it, Cole. So here we are, man. Orioles chomping at the bit. We're talking ball, talking Marcus Peters back at this point. JK has returned. Peters has returned. Now we're waiting on a trio that maybe Gus Edwards is the cherry on top a little bit later. Get those hashtag Jake Luke fresh legs. But Tyus Bowser, Ronnie Stanley seems like there's not bad energy or any negativity or hesitation coming out of the camp from those guys being able to contribute pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a great feeling, and it's been a fun couple days as far as camp has gone. Guys haven't been going too crazy, I don't think, on the field or anything like that. You've been having your typical Isaiah Likely making big plays. It feels like he does that in every single practice. Yeah, and getting Gus and getting Stanley out there is going to be critical, but we've talked about Gus and taking their time with him. Stanley is starting to get to a point where you really are going to want to see him soon. But yeah, that's another guy they got to take their time with, and they got to just kind of cross their fingers and hope. And I mean, in the meantime, it's great to get content like the Madden screenshot we got of Ronnie Stanley today, just looking like Huel Babineau.
What a Huel call. Yeah, that was outrageous. Big belly buster there. Shout out OCMD. So yeah, I think Ronnie, it feels like they have just taken every precaution. They shut it down. Probably could have tried to push and play at a low level and risk a little more injury, and chose the conservative route here. So again, all summer, all spring, all off season, Ronnie Stanley is the crux here. He is what, to me, him returning to being 80%+ of the play he was putting out last time he was healthy is what makes this team really, really dangerous. The same way you look at how, you know, in ways Lamar Jackson kind of opens things up for the offense and limits what the defense can do. If you can stick Ronnie Stanley on that island in pass pro, it just makes everybody that much better. And he turned into such a nice run blocker, such a consistently strong run blocker. It does wonders on that side of the line. Then when you've got the big boys, Moses, Zeitler, you know, Linderbaum, we'll see what happens, and whoever ends up winning left guard, when you can kind of clunk those four together more so and leave Stanley on that island in cases, not have to worry about it. It's going to elevate Lamar Jackson. It's going to open up pass protection, open up all kinds of stuff. So to me, love getting Peters back. If they get Peters and Stanley back playing healthy and decent, goes so far for them being able to accomplish their goals.
Yeah, definitely. And it feels like we're getting closer and closer to that every single day. So no timetable on the guys still remaining that need to come back. But yeah, I mean, just keep your eyes peeled and watch this space, because it feels like we're getting closer and closer, and they, you know, could be peaking at just the right time. This whole nutritional peak at the right time mentality might actually wind up paying off for them. But I guess we can, on that note, get into the preseason game one recap a little bit. Typically we, you know, do our game recaps right after the game, but it's preseason for one thing, and for another thing, we were both kind of busy. So figured we would take the time here to get into this one a little bit, dive into what we saw. We were both there in attendance together, actually. Wasn't even totally planning to spend the whole game sitting together, but through let's just say, the inquisitions of a very, very enthusiastic usher, I wound up having to sit over in your seats, which is fine. You know, got to sit and get some quality time in with the franchise and you and mom behind me. Just a great night overall. Great to be back at the bank. Energy was pretty lit. I think there was like 60,000 people in attendance total, which, you know, that's pretty crazy for a preseason game for any team. And just a good night overall. They got the win. They continue their streak. But it was a good time.
It certainly was. And it was, like you said, packed for a preseason game. At this point in my life, I'll say I've gone to 40 preseason games, let's say, somewhere around there. I genuinely think this might have been the most full one I've ever seen. It feels like there's a chip on Baltimore's shoulder. They have that entire anticipation of Lamar Jackson and his contract and what's going to happen, and having guys like Kyle Hamilton come in and some of these other exciting rookies come in, some additions, all those kinds of things. Feels like this team is very flammable, excitement-wise, in the fan base. I think it's going to be another packed year at the Yard, or excuse me, not at the Yard, but I guess kind of at the Yard.
It's the Yard, but, technically.
At the bank. At the bank, the Yard Bank, Bank Yard, whatever you want to call it. At the good old Russell Street, it'll be packed.
M&T so, Bank Stadium at Camden Yards is really what it could be called.
The bank at Camden Yards.
The bank at the Yards.
The bank at the Yards. We'll it's a work in progress. We'll get it down. Well, yeah, but like you said, man, I mean, Tyler Huntley comes in, looks damn good. Brett Hundley cut today, and apparently, you know, Dov Kleiman or whatever his name is, throws himself for a little brain twister, says it's unexpected that their quarterback four gets cut. It just sends everybody into a fluster, a flurry, all that good stuff.
Dude, I retweeted that, and then I got like a million like favorites and responses, because like when you retweet, you get like all the notifications of like people seeing it from your retweet. And I was just like, God damn it. I just wanted to put the information out there that Hundley got cut. I didn't like care about it being unexpected, but yeah, really nailed that one there, Dove.
Damn Dove. But a little bit, Anthony Brown, interesting enough, you know, played pretty well. He did end up getting the kind of QB three snaps, QB two snaps for that game. Was one of the most ripped apart, made fun of quarterbacks I can remember, especially by guys like Mitchell Schwartz, like Oregon alumni, Oregon fans. Like, if we had a real quarterback, we would have done X, Y, or Z. And maybe goes into a little bit more of a suitable offense that isn't as quirky as Oregon's, and same effect of a minor degree of the way Justin Herbert was limited in that offense and weird things that they insist on doing. So thought he looked nice too. We got a big Adley shot, 2-2 baby. What's up, RDT? But yeah, Anthony Brown, downtown Anthony Brown, survives and is probably going to make the practice squad, I would think. So kudos to him. That's a big check, being on that P squad for the season. Maybe an elevation if he gets lucky at some point. So little news there. But Mr. Huntley and Mr. Brown look pretty sharp.
Yeah, Ravens, like, sneaky kind of a quarterback factory a little bit. I mean, you got Flacco, you got Tyrod with him, who turned into a starter for a couple of years. He's taking starting reps with the Giants right now, by the sounds of it, which is kind of crazy with how much they're banking on Danny Dimes. But yeah, I mean, those two guys, and you had Lamar come in, obviously. We've had Huntley here, and now Tony Brown making the practice squad. It would not shock me either at all. And I mean, he could be that guy who they had McSorley in the mix as that kind of QB3 emergency guy those couple years, and they probably wanted to hang on to him. And now that he's gone, with, I guess, COVID still kind of being a possibility to wipe a quarterback out at any time, and we saw just generic sickness do it last year for one game, it's important, that third quarterback spot. So, yeah, the fact that Anthony Brown has impressed them enough to get rid of a veteran in the league who has started games and was once kind of a highly thought-of prospect in Brett Hundley, that's pretty impressive for Anthony Brown.
Definitely speaks well. Good offense for him. 2-2 shaking off here, but good stuff all around. And I guess we can kind of cut it up. I mean, jumping around, biggest takeaway for me is that the backup trench squads on both sides of the ball, we can, I guess, start with the offensive line. I genuinely believe this Ravens backup offensive line might not be like the 32nd worst starting offensive line if they were put out. Juwan James, they started with Tyree. A couple guys got reps. They started with Ben Powers. Tyree gets some reps. McCary playing center. Ben Cleveland playing right guard most of the time. And Daniel Falele playing right tackle most of the time. They were nasty for a backup squad. And it is underrated, the kind of cadence it takes to fire off the ball together. You know, have that nice pace where you are a formidable, you know, pressing infantry, essentially, the first line. And they did it damn well. They had a little bit of issues with some snap stuff, but Falele was really impressive. I thought Ben Cleveland blocked his tail off. McCary, you know, is a tackle playing center, so it's not what you love to see, but obviously he's better than most second-team centers, I would say. And then Juwan James returning to form. All those guys, man, finishing blocks, making big seal blocks, you know, comboing to the second level, doing some really nice stuff consistently, springing some decent runs. Great in pass pro. Huntley had a lot of really clean pockets to work with, and we saw him spray the ball around a ton as a result. So love that second team offensive line.
Yeah, no, they looked physically imposing in person. We were sitting in the south end zone, and we were kind of talking as the game was getting going, like, who's here, who's there. We were a little confused at the lineups they were trotting out, but it all just kind of seemed to work. I thought Phillips looked kind of good as sort of weirdly like an elder statesman of the group out there. Just held his own very well, I thought. And then, yeah, I mean, just the young guys that came out there and impressed right away. Obviously, Falele is the big attraction there, is the big guy from Australia. But he looked technically sound. And that was sort of a concern a little bit. Is he going to be able to round himself into NFL shape? Is he going to be able to hold up to NFL technique? And, I mean, from everything we've heard about work ethic and the type of guy that he is, like, it's only a matter of time before he develops into a real player. And I think we saw the early sort of pieces of that coming together in that game, where he was just holding up pretty well in pass and was kind of mauled on that touchdown run by Mike Davis a little bit. Just very, very, very impressive to me. The size was just like, you're putting preseason guys like that against a guy of his size and his ability to move. That's just a little bit of a mismatch. So yeah, that was a really, really a highlight for me along the offensive line, was getting to watch him get out there and make the most of that opportunity.
100%. And I think the grand irony is Mr. Linderbaum, who is so teeny tiny relative to NFL offensive linemen and centers, basically just stuck in as like that thin, he's like the prosciutto in a mortadella sandwich. You know, he is that thin slice between these mountains of men. I mean, Zeitler, it could be Zeitler and Ben Cleveland, gigantic dudes, bookending him. And then on the bookend of them could be Ronnie Stanley and yeah, Morgan Moses, Juwan, all these guys. So they've got the big boys and they've got this tiny little center. But I'm just so curious to see how creative they get and if they do some of the things with the Eagles, all that good stuff. But like you said, man, I guess kind of the on Falele, someone we talked about a ton in draft coverage, all that good stuff. What's up, Garnett? All that draft stuff was like, how much of a project is he going to be? Is he going to be a project, a developmental player, or is he someone that just needs to, you know, refine a little bit? To me, it was always just a little bit of refinement, and you know, Cole did a film room on him, all kinds of good stuff. So his vertical sets look good. I think they're trying to follow the KISS approach, keep it simple stud, just have one repetitive motion, you know, playing. I'm trying to learn some golf right now, relearn some golf, you know, have one swing. Then once you have that one swing, then you can start messing with tempo. Then you can, you know, all that. You guys get the point. But that is what I saw from him. No wasted movement in his pass sets. Just keeping it easy, keeping it light, using his size to his advantage, staying balanced. That is the key to him unlocking and getting out of that quote-unquote developmental phase. But I think he is in just a touch, but not this long-term project of years of this and that, and really dating back how much coverage we've done of him and articles we've written, all that stuff. The work ethic makes sense, man. The kid came to America alone, you know, left his family behind, traveled across the ocean and went to IMG Academy, solo dolo, and was, you know, a beloved teammate at both IMG and at Minnesota, ended up rooming with Rashad Bateman. He started 2 years in the Big Ten. Like, he's not as much of a project as I think he was ever made out to be.
Fleck,
Raven's definitely a better fit than most. So
yeah, and PJ Fleck said that about him. Like, when he was a freshman, he's like, he's one of these guys who he came in here and right away when it just became for him that what I need to do is what I want to do, and I have the mentality. I might not have the physical ability yet, and for him it was a little bit different. But he cited like Bateman is a guy who didn't have like the physical ability right away, but he said, I know he's going to have no problem getting to where he needs to be. He just needs to get stronger physically, because you just like, you can tell with some guys right away. And he cited Falele as one of those guys. So I think from what we're hearing out of the castle with his being in there when he doesn't need to be a little bit, getting into the weight room, getting himself in the proper NFL shape, maybe shedding some pounds down and just getting himself to where he needs to be. It sounds like it's pretty much all positive on that front.
Definitely. And it wouldn't be surprising not to overanalyze him, but it wouldn't be surprising to see it go the other way. You know, easily could have been overwhelmed and we could have all chalked it up to inexperience and he's only been playing football for a few years, yada, 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 all those things. Not the case. So very happy to see that. I think the Ravens did walk away with a couple steals in this draft. And I guess to kind of segue to the other side of the ball, but someone very similar in our eyes that we think could be a big steal and talked about quite a bit on this podcast, all of those things, is Travis Jones, who looked like, I think Calais Campbell made a Fletcher Cox comp. Someone asked me on Twitter a couple of days ago, like, who do you think? I was like, I don't know. I may or may not have comped, you know, Justin Madubuike to the poor man's Aaron Donald at one point in time. So don't want to run away with myself. I know Michael Pierce said Chris Jones, Calais Campbell, I think saying Fletcher Cox, like, Calais Campbell knows what the fuck he's talking about. And I don't think he says those things lightly. This is all speculative BS, whatever. But man, Travis Jones looked like the total package, the mobility, the functional strength, the flexibility. This is going to be a little sussy of me to say, but you know, Marlon Humphrey getting up in his business in the locker room, like he's no fat boy, but he's 330 pounds. The shirt was off. Like, oh, that's just a strong, large man, not some, you know, piece of jello that, you know, jiggle like jello, make the boys say hello.
Not Ronnie Stanley and Madden this year.
Not Ronnie Stanley Madden. He looked like a lumberjack of sorts. We see him track down Malik Willis. We see him just bullying. You know, if he wants to stay where he is in his gap, the Titans backup offensive line had endless issues moving him out of the A gap, out of the B gap. So the technical prowess against the run, play recognition, mobility, functional strength, all of those things. And it's really easy to overreact to a preseason game. But when you go back, understand that he was playing 60, 70 snaps at Connecticut on a game-to-game basis, which is absurd for a defensive lineman, even considering the competition. Then you say, okay, well, he went to Mobile, absolutely whooped ass there. Then he went to the Combine. His RAS score was the 84th out of like 1,060, dating back to 19, whatever, whenever the RAS scores go back to, basically the modern Combine. One of the most athletic in the last like 5 years, like top five. And then throughout OTAs and camp, buzz, buzz, buzz. He's so good. Michael Pierce, buzz, buzz, buzz. Then preseason game, whoops ass. I mean, hard not to be excited. And I'm sure the Ravens feel the same way.
Yeah, no, he definitely was a guy that stood out. along that defensive line. And yeah, definitely stud Will Compton voice for sure. And yeah, he was a fun watch. And then obviously, yeah, for sure. And obviously some of the other rookies, I mean, Pepe Williams was doing a couple things. He was getting in there in the return game, which is pretty big. I mean, that's a good way to establish value for yourself. And, you know, Devin Duvernay, if he becomes a valuable member of the offense, like they actually might need him to be, then it might not hurt to throw Pepe Williams back there if he proves he can handle it. So obviously you had him, a couple other guys making plays, Geno Stone kind of all over the place, had himself an interception, and he has definitely secured himself a spot on the 53 man, as we can tell. Sorry, Kyle, you botched that one with the tweet that night, but it's perfectly okay. He proved his worth to this team as a rotational safety. And then also, you know, speaking of safety, Kyle Hamilton recovering a fumble and just looking big and rangy, and just seeing him pretty up close in person, I was very impressed with what I saw from Hamilton as well.
Definitely. And all those young guys were definitely really impressive, but just really that front set the tone. Aaron Crawford, I thought, had an absolute day. A lot of those snaps played alongside Travis Jones. Broderick Washington was putting dudes on their booties all night long. We saw Steven Means, just the reincarnation of Pernell McPhee, immediately. Those guys just, you know, it's like energy that cannot be created or destroyed, only transferred into another form between Courtney Upshaw and Pernell McPhee and a lot of those guys that are just those physical badass edges. That front was pretty devastating. We would love to see more out of some of those other younger outside linebackers, you know, Dalen Hayes, Jeremiah Moon, some of those other guys. But that interior was nasty. Even Brent Urban, you know, on that forced fumble, was in the backfield, immediately beat his man, forced the back to kind of veer, get a little bit panicked, and then Malik Harrison comes up and makes a play. But that front was just really impressive. Aaron Crawford had a night and would be shocked to see him not on a 53 somewhere in the NFL come week one.
Yeah, I feel like he's a guy who we've kind of sneaky talked about in August, going back a couple of years. So, yeah, to see him have himself another good game, I mean, and like you said, sort of put himself into a spot to make the team or maybe become a trade chip. I mean, that's another feather in their cap for sure. And it just speaks to, I think, the depth approach of this team that I think it comes under fire at times. I think it does cost them in some areas. You look at some of the weaknesses of the roster and you say, all right, well, if you had focused X, you know, more towards Y, then maybe you could have made Y a little bit stronger as far as the star power goes. But man, they are really, really deep, and that showed through last Thursday night.
100%. So Anthony Weaver has veterans. He has rookies. He has kind of, you know, mid veterans, I guess, you know, Calais Campbell, Michael Pierce, Brent Urban, all the way through Travis Jones, Broderick Washington, Justin Matabike, a guy that should be coming, you know, into his prime-ish in the next year, 2-3 years. So they are deep. They have all sorts of options. The trench warfare is out of control in the Ravens book right now, in my opinion, especially depth wise. So a very, as the one of the oldest adages in football, you know, games are won in the trenches. Exactly. So love to see all of that. Your boy Kyle Hamilton definitely got, you know, ripped apart. He's just been in like, had like two bad plays that have been put on tape and circulated and gone viral. So Mr. Ken Griffey Jr. definitely getting dragged through the social media realm. But I thought played really well and did a lot of nice things in coverage. His back pedal for his size is clean. They stuck him on the roof. He was playing deep, middle of the field, closed safety. He was also rolling with Geno Stone and Tony Jefferson, starting back, coming up, all that kind of stuff. I think we're going to see him get sharp. And I think we're going to see him get sharp. Probably I think we're going to see him take some lumps, some missed tackles, things like that. First month of the season, make some plays, but just shows everything you wanted to see in terms of movement skill at his size. When you see him in person, we're at the game, we're up close, he's fucking huge for a safety. He is gigantic. He's huge for a linebacker. He is a big, big, big boy. So being able to cover ground like he did, some highs, some lows, gets his paws on a football, all kinds of good stuff. So very excited about him, looking for him to make some plays in this upcoming game too.
Yeah, I think it's funny because like and people are kind of dragging him for the Malik Willis thing, and you know, obviously he got beat by the no name wide receiver on that one play. But it's like, if his bad plays are going to be in training camp And it's going to be doing this like weird one-on-one situation in the slot, which he might not always be doing. And if it's like this weird angle with Malik Willis where he had maybe over pursued a little bit and then he gets left in the dust, like I'm okay with that, because what we saw just play to play other than that, where he's getting put in kind of not really the rat position, but he's just a little bit higher than that. He's kind of just being a little bit of a traffic cop, and then they're putting him up even higher, and then he's having the range to like chase down a guy from like the other side of the field, which he did, I think, once or twice. It just looks like, I don't know, it looks like he's a guy who has all the physical tools, like you mentioned. Like the size really is, that's what you mentioned that I need to highlight, because, you know, you hear 6'4 for a safety and you think, wow, that's really big. And then you see a 6'4 safety in the lineup and you're like, holy shit, like that doesn't look normal. But yeah, it's not normal in all the right ways. He's got great size, great range, great wingspan, and that's all going to help him. And yeah, maybe some things will get away from him. He'll be a little unwieldy out there at times, but he's another guy. It's just like he's the John Harbaugh Ravens type guy with the work ethic, with the mentality that you hope is going to be able to help him round it all into form, and I certainly expect it to.
Definitely, and I like that. You know, we haven't been at camp, but I like that what his usage was primarily a safety. Don't go the Isaiah Simmons route. Don't create a master of none by trying to get him to do everything first. Put him at safety, let him learn, then start integrating him. You don't need Kyle Hamilton week one to be playing 40 snaps or 30 snaps. Chuck Clark is there. Marcus Williams is there. You have, you know, hopefully Marcus Peters is back to form. You got a solid 4 or 5 veteran presences that can get on that field. You can pick and choose your spots with him. And then just slowly, you know, middle out algorithm from Silicon Valley. Let's put him in the familiar and let's get him into the box and then get a little bit more funky in coverage once he feels comfortable in a normal role. So that makes me really excited. The split safety looks, the deep safety looks, all those things he was doing as a DB. In this whole world of, is he going to be Weapon X? Is he going to be Jamal Adams? Dimebacker? All of those things. No, he's a safety. He was a really damn good one. Put him there. Let him get comfortable in this defense. Work on it from that point forward.
Absolutely. Okay. So what other takeaways you got here?
Obviously, Shamar Bridges, I mean, impressed the hell out of everybody in the world. From what he said, the Ravens aggressively pursued him, a super under-heralded player who went on the record, I think, with Glenn Clark or maybe it was just after the game interview, something like that. And basically said, I was a really, really, really late bloomer physically. He was a 0-star recruit. He was not recruited. Ends up, you know, going to a pretty unknown HBCU relatively and was quiet, didn't have a ton of production, had some injuries. But man, he runs like a defensive player, I guess is the best way to put it. He really digs up turf and is like attacking, able to be reactive. Saw him run a sluggo at 6'5", 210 is his, you know, listed size and weight. He looks every bit of that. Another huge guy. Speaking, you know, when we saw him catch that touchdown right in front of us, you're like, wow, that looks like a tight end. Okay, you know, that's not far off from Darren Waller in the aesthetic overall. And to see him run the way he did, to hear John Harbaugh go talk about him playing special teams, obviously, Harb's nips are a little hard there. You know, if he's getting the special team stamp of approval this early, that says a lot. That says a lot. To see him have the production, he did all of those things. So huge takeaway. I don't think we're different from anyone else there. I know the guys on the lounge, I'm pretty sure Garrett loves him. Garrett Downing, one of the Ravens, you know, editors, coverage guys, loves him a ton, has talked about him a ton apparently. So made plays in camp. I think that we saw Jeff Z talk about it a little bit too, and looks like, you know, definitely, we have Adam James Ring here in the comments. The sluggo blew my mind. Was pretty crazy to watch that clip, that especially going back watching the All-22. He can move. He is a big boy. He plays aggressive. And if he's got that special team stamp of approval, it is pretty difficult to imagine him not having a really strong shot to make the team.
Yeah, he reminded me a little bit of what we saw from Likely in the same game, where he's, you know, high pointing balls and he's just playing above the rim and he just looks more physically dominant than the other guys out there. And, you know, that's should be normal for a guy like Likely, who's a 4th round pick, very athletic. And he just kind of translated what he was doing in practice to that game environment. But maybe it's such that Bridges isn't going to be a practice player, or maybe he's not going to match up as well against the Ravens starters, but you get him in there against the preseason guys and he just sort of shows out physically. So maybe that says something, where he certainly does belong on an NFL roster, and it could be the Ravens, who are not very good at wide receiver right now. And they had Tylan Wallace get injured that night, and things are looking kind of bleak. He definitely stood out in a night when an undrafted or an unheralded guy needed to.
For sure. I think Tylan Wallace looked all right, too, to start out. But the Ravens are going all in. They went into that money ball approach of these undrafted wide receivers. I'm not giving them any kudos yet because we haven't seen any proof in the pudding. We'll talk about that maybe 2 months from now. Maybe a guy goes and catches 10, 15, 20 balls over the first three games as a UDFA. Jalen Moore, Benjamin Victor, I think both are capable of being, you know, a rotational receiver in the NFL. They've got Slade Bolden, all these guys. So I'm not going to go say there's going to be some, you know, 800-yard receiver that they pull out of their hat, but Shamar Bridges looked damn good, man.
Yeah, definitely. And he's like, I don't know if I wound up publishing it, but I was doing some writing ahead of the game. It's just like they need one of these guys to like have a big game to put people at ease a little bit, at the very least, about the bottom part of this wide receiving room. And he certainly was that guy. So great to see.
Breaking news: Mike Zimmer to work for Deion Sanders at Jackson State. That's just a match made in heaven.
That's hilarious. And like, talk about a guy working with college kids.
Orioles. Sorry.
Arias or something else?
Well past that. 4-2 Orioles now. They play at the plate where the catcher dropped the ball, and it's now 4-2 Orioles. Ryan McKenna, keep him in the lineup. That's all I have to say on that. But Mike Zimmer, unexpectedly, the way he looks, the way he sounds, very, you know, PC friendly, like, you know, very liberal guy against the way he looks and the way he sounds and the fact that he's like a hardcore defensive mind.
But also he is a red ass with his players too. And talk about a guy who's going to be a perfect fit for a college environment, especially where he's not the head coach and he can kind of like be the lieutenant a little bit and like give guys more shit. And then Deion is kind of like the general. That's an interesting fit. I'm excited to see what that looks like. Is Barstool still doing that documentary with them?
I'm sure they are.
I haven't watched any of that yet, but I'd be curious to see what that looks like with him in the mix.
Definitely. But yeah, Mekhi Polk made some plays, more of a skinny guy. Got here in the comments, a couple people talking about him. Seven catches, 73 yards, look clean. Clean underneath, clean hands, kind of sudden mover, able to sit down well, do some of those things. So we'll see. I mean, I don't want to overanalyze, you know, one preseason game, but was fun to watch Huntley play behind a capable second team offensive line that had their shit together and throw the ball to some guys that we have not really gotten a chance to see or hear or have a ton of context on and get maybe just a little more clarity. I wouldn't say we're talking any 2020 here, but you know, the nearsightedness is starting to come into clarity a little bit more.
Yep, absolutely. So anything else from on the field? I mean, do we want to talk a little Stout? I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he definitely had jitters. You could like see it the first punt that he had, just, you know, whatever, it gets called back and then he bangs another one. For whatever reason, both punters on both teams kept coffin cornering the far side of the field where we were sitting on the other side of the field, right between the 20 and like the 5. So obviously punt god Matt Areza bangs a 82 yarder for a 62 net, while our boy P1 Jordan Stout is just flowing and controlling that hang time, putting that ball up in the air, leaving it in some awkward positions, and has Mr. Sam Cook dealing and wheeling and all that kinds of stuff. And Stout kicked a field goal, right?
I believe he did at one point.
Yeah, I think he did. But Holder, very important as well. Hopefully, you know, Tucker comes out, didn't mess anything up. So looking to see Wolfpack Volume 2 with Moore and Jordan Stout. After years of Morgan Cox and years of Sam Cook together with Justin Tucker. So, yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess that's all we have from the preseason games, unless you got anything else.
Josh Ross, very impressive. Christian Welch, I thought, looked solid. Curious to see what happens with guys like Kyle Fuller, Jalen Armour Davis. Just TBs, you know, TBD a little bit. Some guys coming back. Ardarius Washington probably going to work his way maybe into like third preseason game or something of that sort. So want to see more out of these DBs. Running backs wise, I mean, Justice Hill looked damn good. And we heard Craig Van Steer, the Ravens running backs coach, talk about how he kind of had a break and came back a way more complete player in terms of handing him the ball in some inside concepts as well as pass pro and some other things. Saw him have a couple really nice blitz pickups. So guy that I was definitely counting out relative to Tyler Beatty and relative to Mike Davis and should not be the case right now. So Garnett here, like you said, Geno Stone, you know, looked like he did at Iowa. To me, it looked like, I tweeted this, it looks like he found the body composition in terms of you know, weight plus mass to be like, all right, I can run and cover ground back, in the secondary, and then I'm big enough, I feel strong enough to fill the alley with some authority. Ran the alley like a jungle cat a couple times, made some huge plays. The ball skills have always flashed. Picked off Big Ben in the last interception of Big Ben's career. Always has the ball skills. So I think a lot of eyes on Geno Stone right now, a lot of opportunity for him to continue to shine. And I don't know what to do with safety, man. I do not know at all. And some people are going to say trade Chuck Clark. Others are going to say, you know, cut Tony Jefferson. Others are going to say some other iteration. But wherever you lay, I don't think the Ravens want to have any other team have a shot at Geno Stone while he's in this position. You know, we'll see how much dime. I'm doing some research right now. I'm going to be publishing an article talking about Mike McDonald's usage and what I kind of expect in terms of nickel and dime and base and all of those things. I feel like you have to put Geno Stone on the football field in the regular season on the defensive side of the football a little bit. So some third down passing situations, don't be surprised to see Stone out there quite a bit once the regular season gets underway. And we all know how bad the injury bug can get in the secondary, and having a guy like Geno Stone is a great thing.
Absolutely.
Well, I guess that about does it for me. I think that's all we got. So
I did want to talk
a lot of ground pretty quickly.
I did want to touch on one thing not related to this game.
Okay.
How are we feeling about this week one matchup now?
Joey Bag of Donuts apparently is just slinging that fucking pigskin up in wherever the hell their practice facility is. So
East Rutherford, I think.
East Rutherford, the old dog himself. He had, you know, it's just whenever you hear him, he has just grown to be more Joe Flacco. He grows more himself every day. And I don't know if that makes sense, but when I hear him talk and interview and they ask him about playing the Ravens for the first time, he just has continued to be more himself over time. And from all accounts, you know, he's probably pretty healthy. He had that back surgery, that neck surgery quite some time ago, has not had any pressure on him, has not been taking hits, all of that stuff. So he is in the, let's call it the back nine of his career. Let's call it like the deciding three holes on Sunday of his career. This is his peak right now. Like of that time frame of the last couple of years, he has had no pressure, been slinging the thing. He's been doing offseason workouts in like Tahoe or wherever with Zach Wilson and the boys. So they will be playing him week one. He's got fucking weapons up in New York. Their offensive line's a little strange, but it's going to be a very interesting game. And I mean, I would be remiss to think he doesn't throw just a classic play action, deep, beautiful, whistling, you know, floated in ball 48 yards downfield for a big gain against the Ravens in the first half. So I think, like Garnett said, you know, that's what everybody's going to say. That's what Stavi Baby's going to say. You know, there's something about Joe Flacco's fire that it just feels right.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting thing. And I love the fact that he didn't like bullshit around and say it's just another game. And he referenced back.
That's so Joe.
No, it is. And like for people like say that he never says anything, it's like, well, if you say that thing, you just don't really listen to him because he says what he believes. He just like doesn't always have a ton to say on stuff that he doesn't care about. And this is something that I think he does care about. And
if you think Joe Flacco doesn't talk, it's because of his monotone. But if you listen to the damn words that have come out of that man's mouth every time he's interviewed, he loves the camera. He's always, since about year three in Baltimore, he opened up. He was definitely the favorite of reporters. He will go on, you know, a nice 2-minute tangent about his actual feelings.
It was once Pitta got in there, I think he started to come out of his shell, and Pitta started fucking around with his hair and made him look a lot better. So that was definitely a big turning point in his career, was becoming best friends with Dennis Pitta. And yes, he's become a lot more open, and like, he said, I will probably say it's going to be just another game, but you're damn right it's not going to be. Those things are always weird. Steve Smith played Carolina in his
first year. That was what he thought of, yeah, too, because that game is probably what sticks out to him. Like him and Steve Smith's relationship and just that brief period, just it spoke so much volume that resonated and how quickly that came up to his mind.
And you know he's thinking – memory. And you know what he's thinking of that game where Smith just goes nuts and the Ravens blow them out. And, like, they get the lucky bounce off Owen Daniels and he scores a long touchdown. He's like, maybe I'll get that kind of members bounce against the Ravens and get myself a win in week one, which I wouldn't be totally surprised by, if we're being honest. He has played fairly well in limited action for the Jets.
He can still rip a spiral. And like I said, man, you know, he's older. He's healthy, though. Like, he is so far removed from taking hits. He is so far removed from surgeries. He's still playing. He's still throwing.
It's going to be week one.
The Wilson injury is like buzzing about him.
Yeah, it's going to be week one. Like, he's not going to have any wear on him. Like, it, you know, this, I'd be more nervous to face Joe Flacco than Zach Wilson. And we're going to be getting the former.
100%. 100,000%. You even hear Garrett Wilson asked about, you know, his experience with Joe Flacco. And he was trying his best not to speak negatively about Zach Wilson, but ultimately ends up saying, you know, Flacco throws a more catchable ball. Like, he has the tempo and those just breadbasket tosses Joe used to be able to make and definitely still can. It's going to be quite the sight. And it's week one. So it's like when your adrenaline as a fan is just like boiling over, you know, onto the stove because you're so excited about it. And it's against Joe fucking Flacco for the first time. So, man, I don't have like adrenaline from it yet, but I know that feeling that I'll get as a Ravens fan when the season kicks off and it's 1 o'clock, I'm going to be at that game. When that's all going down, it's going to be pretty, pretty overwhelming. You can just feel it now.
Absolutely. You can. So that's pretty much all I had on that. I just thought we would be remiss not to mention it.
100%. So with that, I guess we yield here, but got another matchup coming up. We're going to record again later this week and kind of dive in, try and have some guests on. We've been going just me and you, the homies, for a while. We've had our phases of this podcast. Sometimes we'll have 5 episodes and 4 guests. Sometimes we'll go a couple months with really just having the homies. So going to try and chop things up a little bit, bring in some fresh blood. You guys maybe are a hair sick of us by now, but if you're still listening, I guess not. And I don't know how that's the case, but we appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Give us some 5 stars. We haven't asked any of these things. Give us some 5 stars. Share this podcast with a friend. Help out your boys. We're getting ramped up. We're ready for football. Hope you guys are too. Baltimore Beatdown Podcast, baby. Plug us. Help us help you. Help us get better. Help us grow always and forever. We appreciate you guys. Year 4 for the boys.
Insane to think about. Insane, insane, insane to think about. So also follow us on social media. You can do so at Podcast Beatdown on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Jake Luke. That's Louque. Spencer is at Ravens 4 Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle there. Thank you guys for listening. We will be talking with you later this week. And everybody have a good one.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Get that! Baltimore!
What are they giving?
Everything out of me. They gonna get a Super Bowl out of me. Need that.